Now, the DUP leader, Arlene Foster, has described nationalism as narrow and exclusive. In a speech in London, Mrs. Foster also said unionism stands for pluralism and multiculturalism. Let's have a listen to what she had to say.
Nationalism is by its nature narrow and exclusive, and being a unionist is the opposite. Unionism stands for pluralism and multiculturalism, and we are inclusive and welcome all. That should be our strapline. Confident unionism can capture the diversity that nationalism cannot. It transcends nationalism and allows individuals to express the cultural values or identity that they wish.
But not everyone agrees with the former First Minister's vision of her movement. Earlier I spoke to Sinn Féin's Marcel Mueller and asked for his response to these comments.
You should take it that the response of nationalism and Irish nationalism to Arlene Foster's comments is, I suppose, bemusement and bewilderment, because we had hoped in her keynote speech, it was trailed as a keynote speech yesterday when she was in England, that she might come forward with some suggestions or actions to break us through this logjam we're experiencing at Stormont. But instead of that, her strategy is to do nothing, except, of course, throw in the odd insult to those of us who are very proud of the inclusive nature of Irish nationalism and indeed strive to ensure that it continues to be a welcoming political philosophy. And in fact, I think in recent times we've seen it's Republicans who are insisting and leading the charge, as it were, in terms of trying to hold out the hand to unionism.
So you were, your party was hoping that that speech would signal a breakthrough, were you?
Well, I think breakthrough would be too strong, Stephen, but I, for some time now, we have been waiting since for the DUP and for Mrs. Foster to come forward with a way out of the stasis we find ourselves. And you have to remember that back in February, there was a deal on the table that, as you know, we have said many times, it was our belief that the DUP leadership had signed up to a deal which would have got the institutions back up and running. In the interregnum since then, we have had the Tories and the DUP refusing manfully, as it were, to agree with the Irish government that we should move into the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference, because there's a route map, as explained in previous, as detailed in previous agreements, a route map out of political logjam and paralysis is the British Intergovernmental Conference.
But Martin, you've said in this interview already that you know you were hoping that Arlene Foster would get us out of this logjam. What about Sinn Féin getting us out of this logjam? So, you know, the deal didn't happen. Where's the new thinking from Sinn Féin? Where's the initiative from Sinn Féin to get us out of this?
Well, let's try and do two things in that regard, Stephen. I think the first thing is that the language of reconciliation, of peace building, of justice, of rights should continue. And I hope you've seen in the statements, in the narrative, in the conversations coming from Sinn Féin over recent months, and indeed I attended a talk by Mary McDonald at Queen's University. I hope in the public expressions of where we stand, we're continuing to offer a hand of friendship to unionists.
But is there anything new? Because the last deal that wasn't a deal, whatever it was, didn't work. So is there anything new now to get us over this impasse?
Yeah, I do want to say this, that when you talk about anything new, I think we should always restate our commitment to a shared and equal society and a shared future. So that doesn't have to be new, because, of course, when you don't make that position clear, then that stance can be lost. So that's number one. Secondly, the new element of this, of course, is that we need to bring together Irish Intergovernmental Conference, which hasn't happened. I'm in London today because I'm going to take part in a Brexit debate. The Brexit cloud is really hanging over everything we do as political leaders, but also, of course, in business, in the trade union sector, the voluntary sector. Every aspect of life faces the calamity of Brexit. And in that context, it's even more urgent that we move swiftly into the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference. And that is new, Stephen, but it is new and that hasn't happened. But the actions need to happen, as there needs to be a sort of compromise. We need to get back around the table with a DUP leader or leaders who can make a deal and then can sell a deal.
Well, that's Sinn Féin's Marcela Mueller. The newsletter deputy editor Ben Laurie was at the event yesterday. What did you make of what Arlene Foster said, Ben? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it was a speech to a very informed audience. The think tank policy exchanges are very well connected with the government, and there were The Economist and the top newspapers and magazines were there. I don't think there was anything groundbreaking in it, to be honest. It didn't say, it wasn't like Ruth Davidson, who also spoke and who acknowledged some of the quite serious difficulties that unionism faces. But I think Arlene Foster was presenting herself. She mentioned coming from Fermanagh and being in the most westerly constituency and how people do live alongside. She'd been watching the royal wedding, and a lot of people were watching the Gaelic match, and so it was, you know, presenting a human face, I suppose, to people who might be very well informed and not know about that. But I think I don't think that section of her speech, the controversial section that you've just read, that you've just played her speaking, I don't think it really worked. Because immediately people are ridiculing unionism for saying that it's open and pluralistic and so on, and that nationalism is narrow. I mean, I think that there is something to be said about nationalism having projected itself in the past as very progressive when actually being very tribal. But I'm not sure that it would be easy to argue that unionism in Northern Ireland today is particularly open. We're a very divided society, and we're pretty monocultural, dual cultural, two big communities.
Ben, thank you. We're pushed for time this morning, but thank you for coming on. We have a few minutes left to speak to the commentators, Andrea Murphy and Nelson McCausland, who are both with me this morning. Andrea, morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning. And Nelson, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you think it was helpful for Arlene Foster to criticise nationalism at a point where maybe some people would argue we need to find common ground rather than highlighting the ground that we don't agree on?
Well, it's important that we're honest with each other, because any future in Northern Ireland has to be based on honesty. It was an important speech. It was an impressive speech. It was a speech that portrayed and presented a confident and coherent unionism. And I think it was interesting that it was made on the very same day that the opinion poll came out, which said that only 21% of people in Northern Ireland would want to vote Northern Ireland out of the United Kingdom. I thought there were some very interesting elements in her speech. She talked about cultural issues. She looked back over the Troubles and the impact of that. So she looked back, she looked at where we are today, and then she looked forward and set out, in some degree, a vision for a better future for Northern Ireland.
Andrea,
I've heard other speeches recently from Arlene where she has been on a similar track, and I think it's very interesting and something that should be encouraged.
Andrea, your reaction to what she said?
I felt that it was an opportunity where if she had something to say about a new type of unionism, I'd have certainly been all ears, but it's a shame that she didn't do that. Instead, she reverted back to type, which was, you know, portray this kind of arrogance, partial comments, no self-reflection, which kind of looked at
To be fair, every time she opens her mouth, she's accused of being arrogant. You know, what's arrogant about her giving her view?
There's nothing, you know, she has to say her vision of unionism is couched by this very denigrated view of nationalism. And that was such a pity. There's people today saying, look, she doesn't want a power-sharing government, that she sits and she is being held personally responsible at the moment for the failures around Inquest. There's absolutely no pressure on her around that, and that maybe gives her the space where she doesn't do self-reflection, because her personal responsibility around the failures of government, the failures around good governance, and the failures around Inquest aren't coming to her door somehow. And so she does a speech like that yesterday.
Final 30 seconds to you, Nelson.
Well, what we've just heard is a rehash of what we heard from Sinn Féin yesterday, this attitude of saying, well, we'll attack the person, ignore the issues, and simply say she is arrogant. The truth is that the response of Sinn Féin was arrogant. The response of Sinn Féin was churlish. And I think the response of Sinn Féin also said to me that she'd got it exactly right, because they couldn't answer the point she was making, and they simply instead indulged in personal abuse.